Okay, I suggest we start, and Bartek will lead the first discussion, and he will inform you about upcoming IFRS taxonomy releases and reviews. Thank you, Bartek.
Thank you very much, Rita.
Christian, management
have joined the conference.
Maybe we should wait.
Maybe not.
Should we give it a two more minutes? Or?
I think.
Should
I?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the first item on the agenda of today's call is about the upcoming and current ITCG reviews.
Just click.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to update you on what we have released recently, what we will be releasing in the nearest future. Also, a quick summary of IFRS 16 releases, just to give you some flavor of what you are to expect in the standard when it is published. And also a word about the proposed IFRS taxonomy due process that is out there for comments currently. So in terms of the recent IFRS taxonomy updates, we've released two updates over the last 8 days, which is the first one was for the IFRS for SMEs. So you might have noticed that the bound volume of the IFRS for SMEs was released by the ISB on the 1st of December. And on the same day, we were able to release the IFRS taxonomy update that included the changes that appeared for the first time in the bound volume for IFRS for SMEs. So we think it's, you know, it's nice from our perspective that we were able to release on the same day as the actual bound volume was released. The second release that happened just yesterday, we have released additional bunch of additional common practice items.
Have joined the conference.
And those common practice items relate to information technology, media, chemicals, as well as utilities. It's about 50 elements, and we haven't changed that from the proposed taxonomy update that was released, I believe. I don't know, to be honest, but a couple of months before. In terms of what is upcoming, and that's probably more interesting, we got a big thing upcoming, which is IFRS 16 leases.
Okay.
Have joined the conference.
And also in that leases release, we aim to put the small publication that deferred the effective date of IFRS 15 revenue from contracts with customers by a year.
Kimberly Earl have joined the conference.
So from 2017 to 2018. And as far as the second part goes, this is what we view as a technical change. We don't really expect any issues with that. The only influence on the taxonomy will be that the elements that have the effective date.
Lewis.
Have joined the conference.
Should I?
Have joined the conference.
Is that with that thing or is that?
No. I think okay. That just people will.
So, in terms of the deferral of the effective date, as I said, this is a technical change where all the references that have the effective date of the 1st of January 2017 or the expiry date of 1st of January 2017
have joined the conference
because that was the previous effective date of IFRS 15. Those elements will have those references changed to effective 2018 and expired date 2018.
Have joined the conference.
So practically, we don't expect any comments and any problems there. In terms of IFRS 16 leases, I'll tell you a few words about the content of the standard in the next two slides. But it is a big thing. I mean, this is a standard that is important. And unfortunately for us, in terms of the taxonomy, it seems that the standard will be published in January 2016, but it will still go into the bound volume, the 2016 bound volume. So it's likely that the date of the bound volume of the Red Book will be moved from the 1st of January 2016 to let's say 15th of January 2016, so the date that the LISE standard is actually published. And the unfortunate consequence for us is that we have to wait with our releases relating to leases until the standard is published, and yet at the same time, because it will go into the bond volume, we will have to include that in the IFRS taxonomy 2016. So the plan currently is to release the leases standard with the taxonomy to you on the day that the standard is actually published. So let me assume for now that it's the 15th of January. Then after your review, we have to also release it to the public for their review, which is the 60-day usual comment period. And it will take us to the end of March. And then depending on the number of comments received, both from you and from the public, we will release the annual IFRS taxonomy 2016 at the earliest time we possibly can. We've already heard some comments from some regulators that they are not happy about the fact that the taxonomy might be released in April rather than March. So we know that we've kind of got people used to receiving the taxonomy in March. This is not said in our due process. This is March is not a date that is, you know, a deadline that we have to meet by means of our due process. However, we know that the expectation might be there. In terms of how to try to make it still in March or very early April, we were thinking we could shorten the ITCG review period from the usual 2 weeks to 1 week, but that would require your approval. Let me only mention that this review period is going to be likely to be in mid-January, so it's not over the Christmas period, as I'm sure you're used to reviewing the IFRS taxonomy in the past, so it might be a more convenient time for you to review. If that should happen, that just saves us a week, and maybe we will be still able to make it towards the end of March, although also end of March is Easter, so there are a couple of days off. So it will be tough to make it by the end of March. So my question to you, which I know is not on the slide, but I hope you have your opinions, is how open would you be to shortening the ITCG review period from 2 weeks to 1 week?
Well, it's Doug from Australia. We'd be supportive of that change, partly alleged the interest that most of our companies have 30 June year end, so the more time we have to implement the new taxonomy, the better, and I think a week would be more than sufficient.
Thank you. Any other views in this regard?
So would everyone agree then, because taking into account what Ben just has said, would everyone agree that we can shorten the review period from 2 weeks to 1 week? So this is your last chance to really say, otherwise we would go with the proposal that Ben has just put forward and which we thought as possible option to shorten to make the publication of the annual taxonomy earlier.
And I maybe should have mentioned it before, it is on the next slide. This is not a very complex standard in terms of the structures that we are proposing. So we have a number of tables, but they are one, maximum two axis tables, and a number of line items. So, you know, it's not like fair value measurements with eight dimensions or anything like that. It's a relatively simple standard from the technical perspective.
I will say, I think it's okay. I just would not want it to become a trend. So, don't want it to be setting any precedent, that's all.
Yeah. And
we are well aware of that, and we have no plans to shorten the ITCG periods at all. It's only in this, you know, for the sake of the timing in terms of the annual taxonomy, which we think is a very important deadline that we would love to keep if possible. If not, you know, we have a good reason. And we've also inquired if we could release the standard to you before it's actually published, so that you could start your review before, but there are strong confidentiality issues with that, and unfortunately we were not able to do that. Okay. Thank you. If you need some time to think and would like to comment, please do it by email, and we'll accept all those emails. If we don't receive any comments that say otherwise, we will use the 7 days ITCG comment period for, and let me stress that, for that release and that release only. We have no plans to do the same in the future. Also, we will have an amendment coming from the IS7, but that amendment was the trial due process that we did, and that was consulted on the exposure draft level, so we have no plans to consult it with the ITCG or the public unless there are significant changes, which it seems there aren't. So that amendment, if it goes into the bond volume 2016, we will put it into the 2016 taxonomy. If it does not, then it will be it's likely to be our first interim, first taxonomy update for year 2016. And as said, it will not be consulted anymore. It will be final when we issue it. So now very few quick words about leasing. We have one slide that is a reminder, so I hope you remember from our face-to-face meeting that the main the standard basically retains all the accounting for the lessor, changes the accounting for the lessee, and we will no longer have a breakdown for the lessee into operating and financing leases. With that come the presentation and disclosures. So first of all, we have consulted with you the subject of the right of use assets, and in accordance with what we've discussed and you've agreed to during the face-to-face meeting, we plan to have an item for the right of use assets. We plan no total line items for right of use assets and PP&E because the standard does not require that explicitly. Also, from what we have learned, the standard is likely to require that the right of use assets that meet the definition of the investment property to be presented together with investment property. So now IS 40 is likely to be changed in terms of the definition so that the right of use assets are included in investment property and meet that definition. And if that's the case, then accordingly we will create an item that says right of use assets that do not meet the definition of investment property to capture all the other right of use assets, because they might be presented separately, while the right of use assets relating to investment property will have to go with investment property. So that's a slight change, although that's the change more to the naming and the element rather than the logic behind it. And in terms of other disclosures, for the lessee, we have a number of disclosures relating to quantitative information, so carrying amounts, depreciation, expenses, losses, cash flows. And we also have some descriptive information about the nature, about the types of exposures, restrictions, things like that. And also minor disclosure about the exemptions. So there are some exemptions in the leases standard relating to short-term leases and leases of low-value assets, and there are disclosures around those exemptions. In terms of the lessor, we have similar disclosures of quantitative information, so types of income, profits, losses, as well as descriptive information. And again, here you can see the nature of leasing activities, also disclosures about risk management. In addition, we have the maturity analysis of the lease payments. So for operating leases as well as for finance leases, we will have a maturity analysis, which we already have. So it's not much different to what we have now. We also will have a slightly different to what is in the current IS 17 reconciliation of lease payments and net investment in the finance lease. That's a four-element reconciliation, very simple one. And there is some impact from the LISA standard on IS 16, so PP&E, because there is a requirement that the lessor should disaggregate each class of property plan equipment into assets that are subject and are not subject to operating leases. So those assets will still remain part of property plan equipment as they are now. However, there is an additional requirement to break that down in IS 16, so that will actually impact the section of the taxonomy that relates to IS 16. And that's it in terms of the leases standard. So I know, you know, this information is very general, but that's the only type of information we can share with you at the moment. I just hope that you will see from that information that it's not very difficult in terms of mapping and structuring, that the tabular disclosures relate to maturity analysis, some reconciliations, so the usual, if I may use that word, type of structures we use in the IFRS taxonomy. Any questions relating to that? I don't hear any. So let me move to the last point in my section, which is the IFRS taxonomy due process. And you are well up to date with the due process. We have discussed that during the face-to-face meeting, and we understood that you were at large in agreement with the proposals. But we just wanted to stress that still the consultation period, the public consultation period, is open. It ends on the 3rd of February 2016. So if you have any additional comments, we would welcome them either directly to us by email, or if you want to make them into an official comment letter, that's obviously also welcome. Maybe even more, because the official comment letter is even better.
It's both, because what we do, we'll give a feedback analysis statement to the trustees at their meeting next year, April or May, thank you, Andy. And we will either incorporate your comments, give them through a public comment letter, or by reference to the review comments you have given. If you don't have any additional comments at this stage, David will just state to trustees that we discussed it with you in the October face-to-face meeting and that you largely agree. So this is your chance, your last chance, let's say, to still speak up before we make that statement to the trustees.
Okay.
Any comments here? No. Then I suggest we move on. And before we do, and I know it's a little bit belated, but as John couldn't join us at the beginning, I want to give you a quick update on the membership of the Deutsche Bank, because you know that Anna Beck left Deutsche Bank in August, and that Deutsche Bank was considering putting forward a new candidate to replace Anna Beck. Now, it's my really great pleasure to say that Deutsche Bank last week officially appointed a new candidate, and his name is Dirk.
Thanks for your call. Please stay on the line.
Oh, my God.
Can you mute the line?
Can you mute if someone...
Good.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, fine. Sorry. So I have great pleasure now to tell you that...
...has left the conference.
Okay. So again, my great pleasure, so three times great pleasure, so it's really my real great pleasure to tell you that Dirk Beerbohm will now replace Anna Beck as representative for the Deutsche Bank. I don't know if Dirk is on the line today.
Yes, I'm on the line.
Yeah, Dirk, do you...
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yeah, we hear you fine. Could you just take this opportunity
sure.
to shortly introduce yourself? Thank you.
Yeah, sure. So I really feel honored to be asked to become member of the IFRS Taxonomy Consultative Group. And so let me shortly introduce myself. So my name is Dirk Beerbohm. I'm the Vice President at Deutsche. And I work in the Group Finance Group Reporting Consolidation Department. So currently, I'm the project co-lead for IFRS 9 implementation at Deutsche. And I'm responsible within the work stream for the calculations for the IFRS 9 compliant expected credit loss. And just to give you an overview, so before that I was team head for external disclosures at Deutsche, And together with my previous work at KPMG or as a KPMG auditor in Frankfurt, I gained now then more than 15 years experience about external reporting. And in the previous project, I was also globally in charge to develop the Deutsche Bank taxonomy based on the IFRS taxonomy. So that's so far with regard to my practical experience. So my academic background is also crucial because XBRL has played or also still playing an important part there. So I just have received my doctorate degree from the University of Surrey in Guildford, and my thesis treats the development of XBRL taxonomy from an empirical perspective. And so you would surely call that common practice approach from an ISB perspective. So let me just conclude now. So my research interests include XBRL taxonomy engineering and development of disclosures. So I'm really convinced that XBRL is more than just a technical standard, as it's often misunderstood, and the real value is in the taxonomy, and therefore it needs robust and high qualitative review and development process. And so I hope really I can contribute to that. And so many thanks.
No, and thank you very much, Doug, and really thank you very much for joining us. And definitely, I think maybe even at the future meeting of the IDCG, we may even ask you to talk to you about thesis you did on the use of XBRL and taxonomies.
Yeah, sure. What really would like to do, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Have joined the conference.
Okay. And with that, Vladek, can you move on to the next topic, please?
Thank you, Rita. The aim of today's presentation is to update you on feedback we received from you and what actions we have taken based on your comments. So the second aim of the today's presentation is to ask you for your views on additional changes to the IFRS taxonomy deprecation schema. So, as you might remember, we have sent you an email on 11th of November with a request to review our recommendation related to modularization of the IFRS deprecation schema. We have given you time till 19th of November, which is around 1 week, to comment on the subject. We have received three comments, and all of them supported proposed changes to the modularization in deprecation schema. And all of the comments agreed that a public consultation is not required, since the modularization change should be recognized as an editorial correction. As you can see, the first taxonomy contain updated deprecation schema is the taxonomy update number one, which was 2015 amendments to the IFRS for SMEs, that has been published on the 1st of December. Now we will go to the second part of the presentation, where we would like to ask you a couple of questions regarding deprecation schema that we haven't asked them before. Currently, in the deprecation schema, there are only two types of labels for each element: reason and date of deprecation. And as you can see on the top of the slide, the type for these labels is deprecated label and deprecated date label. And for the future revision of the deprecation schema, we suggest adding two additional type of labels, which are standard label and documentation label. And we would like to add documentation labels where available, so we don't want to create a documentation label for elements that didn't have these labels before. Okay, I'll continue with the deprecation element. And so the next Also, we suggest not to add any other labels, such as total and net, period, start, end labels, since all elements in deprecation schema are not kept in any hierarchies or calculations. They are only inside the flat structure, so in our opinion, we shouldn't add those labels into the deprecation schema. So the question is, do you agree with proposed changes?
It's Doug from Australia. We think it's fairly important to include the standard labels, appreciating that the references, in a sense, will be outdated over time. That's probably why the elements are deprecated in the first place. But it may be possible, for example, to put a date on the standard identify that. But I think it will be important in terms of future, looking at the elements in the future to understand the references and the definitions associated with them. So, it's not a major issue in the sense that they are deprecated elements, but nevertheless, we think it would be better, as you suggest, to have those labels.
Mm. So, standard and documentation label is important, and reference as well?
Yes.
Okay. And thank you for your comments. So if you agree with the proposed changes, the second question is, do you agree that change is an additional editorial correction and therefore does not require a public consultation process?
I mean, the reason for us thinking that is that those labels were already there in the taxonomy. So we do not plan to add or change any labels. We're only kind of planning to bring them back. So when we deprecated the elements, we lost the standard label and lost the documentation label for elements that were deprecated after the documentation labels were introduced, so after 2014. And therefore, we are thinking that all we would be doing is just bringing back those labels. There is no thought process, in a sense, behind it. It's a kind of a mechanical exercise to identify the standard label and documentation label at the date the element was deprecated, and bring it back to the deprecation schema rather than change anything or amend anything in the content.
Yeah, and also we didn't think that it would cause issues for any software using the address taxonomy. Yeah. So that's our thought process. So
this would be also labels that we are using currently. So a standard label and a documentation label. We are not using them in the deprecation schema. However, those types of labels are used by us in the main taxonomy. So we wouldn't be creating any additional type of label that could be confusing or cause problems in the in the upload of the taxonomy. Mm-hmm. So any thoughts from the members?
Is the name of the label the deprecated standard label?
Sorry?
What's the name of the label? Is there a new name, deprecated standard label?
No, we were thinking of just using the standard label as in the main taxonomy. And same with the documentation label. Although currently I think there are 13 elements that would have a documentation label because we have deprecated only 13 after 2014, and we don't intend to create documentation labels for elements deprecated in 2010 or 2011. We don't see a reason for that.
Okay, thanks.
Does that work? I think it's similar to the US GAAP taxonomy, isn't it, in terms of the labels?
Well, the one thing we include in our label is the deprecation date. So it calls it out and makes it clear that it's deprecated.
Mm-hmm. For the standard labels?
Yep.
Not for the documentation labels, correct?
not in the documentation label.
Okay.
Again, our schemas are structured slightly differently, so that is a consideration because we don't separate it out. So we want to make sure that the user recognizes that the element has been deprecated and they can see it in the label.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we assume that when you upload the label link base, then you will see all the labels. So you will see the deprecated date label.
So just adding to the same point, yes, in the US GAAP also, we have a standard label and documentation for the deprecated labels. There is a really concern where if these should not confuse the users, that's why a call out should be great. Otherwise, what US GAAP has done is there is a validation at the SEC level where it checks that these concepts are not used by any of the filers or not extended by anyone.
Mm.
So in either way, it should be clear to the users that these are not to be used.
Yeah, we have a different, slightly different structure to the US GAAP taxonomy because our deprecated elements are in a separate schema, and they are also not placed in the presentation of the main taxonomy. So in the US, you have a separate ELR, I think, at the bottom of the taxonomy that contains all the deprecated elements. To make sure that our elements are identified as such, we place them in a separate schema file. And we also actually give them the previous annual taxonomy's namespace, if I'm correct. So we have other means, slightly other means than the US to indicate that.
We might need to create a non-hierarchical presentation link base or something.
Good. That's not a problem.
This might be something to discuss at some point, is whether we bother doing that to make it easier to view in a tool, because a lot of tools won't present you the labels unless they have something to look at.
Okay.
Yeah. But the question also here is in terms of the date that we introduce those changes, because if we treat them as an editorial collection, we could possibly put those standard labels and documentation labels back as soon as the annual 2016 taxonomy, without any previous taxonomy update. If it's not, and we need to consult on that, then that would not go into the 2016 taxonomy, or is unlikely. That might be put together with the first interim update, or whatever
taxonomy
we call
update.
The taxonomy update in 2016. So the important question also here is, do you think that we should consult on it, or do you think that we could just put them in and treat it as an editorial change? Anyone?
If not, can we go with our assumption that it is just an editorial correction and we can include them in the 2007 IFRS taxonomy? Because that would be the consequence of not hearing.
Yeah, maybe let's say we will treat it as an editorial collection unless we hear otherwise from the members, either now or via email within the next, say, 2 weeks. So to give you some time to think, let's have 2 weeks.
I think we have a comment here.
Okay.
Okay, so if you don't agree, let us know. And the same relates to the next question Wadek is going to ask.
Exactly. So finally, I would like to ask everyone on the call the question regarding references to deprecated elements. So we are suggesting not to add any reference to deprecated elements. Do you agree with the proposal?
Yeah, we think that those references are not in the literature anymore, so it would be confusing. Plus, also there is a large number of elements that we've deprecated because they were wrong, not because they were errors. Well, and then consequently, the reference given to them also might be misleading. So we thought that it's better not to include references. Any thoughts on that?
So certainly that would be the right approach to not to have references given to the deprecated elements. I think in some of the concepts we are already mentioning the accounting standards in the deprecated label. So I don't think there is any need to give another references to the same element. So if somebody has to refer to any of the accounting standards, then you can read the document deprecated label and find out what was the reference given previously.
Yes, correct. If the reference was removed due to, you know, removal or due to the fact that one of the standards was superseded or due to amendments to a standard, we indicate that in the deprecated label.
Right. Correct.
Okay, so again, the same thing. If we plan not to add those references. In case you disagree, please let us know within the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
I think that sums up our part of the call. Do we have any?
Okay, then lastly, Andy is going to tell a bit more about progress on the management of entity-specific disclosures. Yeah.
Yeah. This is only a short update, and some of it was a little uncertain when we were preparing a slide, so I don't have a slide, I'm afraid. The main purpose point of the update is to let you know that we've been discussing the idea of a action on entity-specific disclosures and extensions from an XBRL international level, because we know this isn't something that we're the only people who are concerned. We know there are other parties who really want this topic to be discussed. So, with a couple of other people, we had some chats with XBRL International, and there's now a proposed charter for a new task force to discuss. It's not just extensions, it's a slightly broader topic than extensions. The aim is to discuss the things that we've been talking about as entity-specific disclosures. So those are disclosures that are relatively uncommon. They're quite unlikely to be included in a base taxonomy, and they're quite unlikely to be included in more general mechanisms for including something in a collection or filing system, such as regulator-level taxonomies or a filing group-level taxonomies or something like that. So they're the kind of item that's very likely to end up in a preparer extension if that is how the system is running. The aim of the group is, however, to discuss mechanisms that could be used for that kind of preparer extension, but also to look at other alternatives depending on business case. So that includes things like the way the UK taxonomy included analysis items. That includes discussions under what circumstances not tagging might be the best option. So the aim is to go through the issue, looking at the business case, possible best practice solutions, and then recommend any syntax amendments or rules amendments that might be needed back to the XSB if necessary. So that would be a task force sitting under the BPB, so it's about best practice solutions. It's currently, that charter is currently with the BPB for approval now, so I can't say that the group will definitely exist, but we're hoping to have that approval by the end of this week. Assuming that happens, then XBRL International will then be putting out a call for participation. So this is an XBRL International work tech task force, so it's using the same rules for as most of the other task forces and working groups out there. So that means that membership will be open to any XBRL International member who wishes to apply to join. We'll forward on things like the call for participation.
Name not recorded. Have joined the conference.
Assuming that all happens as soon as we get it, and you should see that coming if you're also members of XBRL International. So, as a result of that bit of work going forward, that means that we need to have a look at the work that we had planned for looking at entity-specific disclosures from an IFRS perspective. So the team's going to be considering what work, if any, we still want to do as a team here, as an organisation here, whether there's anything that we still need to look at that's IFRS-specific that won't be covered by work that XBRL International Working Group does, assuming it goes ahead. We don't have anything specific on that at the moment to discuss with you, but if any of you have any suggestions or anything now, then do let us know. But we'll be coming back to you at a future call or meeting when the working group has hopefully underway. And of course, if it doesn't get underway, then we'll also need to come back to you and discuss what work that we do as the IFRS taxonomy team. If anybody's got any questions on that, then email us or say now or whichever you like. Ask XBRL International.
Andy, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Just in terms of, you mentioned, I think at the beginning, almost setting a scope.
Yeah.
To certain types of entity-specific disclosures that you wouldn't expect to see in a
In a base taxonomy.
In a base taxonomy. I mean, I think a lot of what we see, those disclosures aren't out of the ordinary. They're kind of just different ways that people have aggregated and disaggregated. So it's almost like the process to get the disclosure rather than the disclosure itself. And I was just wondering how you're approaching, I suppose, that initial scoping aspect.
The charter has a very broad scope in it. Mm-hmm. The charter will be, assuming the group is approved, the charter will be made public. Mm-hmm. It has a very broad scope. Just the aim is to rule out things that might already be covered by regulatory extensions and so on, because that mechanism from an XBRL point of view seems to be working. So the actual scope of how we categorise or define the business reasons behind the different types of disclosure that are produced that aren't covered is something that the group will then discuss and go into. And one of the, I mean, for these groups will often take in contemporary work that exists on the same topic. So, for example, we can send them the work that we did for the IFRS taxonomy consultative groups, where we all discuss different categories about aggregations and subtotals and so on. So that whole looking at the business reasons is going to happen again as from a more XBRL international perspective at the group level.
And I suppose from our perspective, I mean, even if you look at our taxonomy and some of our common practice and the aggregation variegations we have, I wouldn't want to rule looking at those again out of that discussion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the group will have to discuss, I think it's going to be a difficult scoping discussion, but the actual details of the scope for what kinds of items that covers is going to be an interesting discussion, because at the moment it's kind of been defined quite generally in the charter at the level of what kind of mechanisms people are using now to deal with them. And obviously that doesn't rule out that the best practices board says actually some of the items we're dealing with via different mechanisms now may be best dealt with by mechanisms we're producing in this working group, mm-hmm. task force, sorry. But I'm getting a bit of my head of myself, given that we don't even actually know if it's definitely happening yet.
I know, but suppose it's happening, and suppose the work group task force comes up with some clear recommendations or best practices, it does not preclude us making us changes to the taxonomy. Like, I think we have hold off making any change or making any rush changes to the IFRS taxonomy. A possible outcome is that we may have to do some specific things within the taxonomy to handle back the entity-specific disclosures. But we don't know yet, and that's why I think we do it. Also, I think one to mention is like the FASB and Lewis has been quite heavily involved here as well. So it's really also a joint initiative between XBRL International, I would say, under the auspices of XBRL International, but definitely with very strong input of IFRS and the FASB taxonomy team. So thank you very much as well, Lewis, for all the input you have given.
Yes, I mean, what as I said, we have to have some further discussions about what the IFRS team does internally. Obviously, we can still there's still work that we can do that is totally unrelated to this group. It's just a matter of making sure we divide the efforts up sensibly so that we don't do something where we might make use of work that comes out of the group.
Okay. And of course, any of you, if the task force goes ahead,
have left the conference.
Welcome to John. Any more comments or questions at this stage? Like Bartek already said, if you have any afterthoughts on the questions that have been raised to you today, please come back to us, ideally before Christmas, because otherwise we'll go ahead with the changes.
Yeah, we'll start, you know, doing the changes, preparing for the changes early January.
Mm-hmm.
So we give you time for December to think. So that's something that you might do and send us emails on, and then if not, then do expect the work on leases around, currently it's planned for mid-January, let me just say that, so around mid-January expect the work, the review for IFRS 16 leases. And as said, it will be 1 week only, so we will make sure you get that information, that is a shortened period of your review.
Okay, thank you very much, Bartek. And that lastly, I just want to wish you all a very nice Christmas and New Year, and talk to you again in
2020.
Matthews, KPMG. Have left the conference.
Same to you.
I think that one up as well.
Here?
I assume so.
Yep.